List making is a very good thing to use in your journal writing when you don't have time to write everything down and there's just so much to write, you're overwhelmed by it all. Then making lists is a good way to go back and get at that again. From this list, you could go back and find images to go with it. You could do poems. You could incorporate them into stories or whatever. But you could also write them from it and add to your journaling on your time here at Holden. So lists are a good way to get at the great amount of material that sort of piles up in our lives as we try to write. Sometimes you're just overwhelmed because you can sit for hours sometimes and write. And sometimes you even have to limit that. Maybe give yourself once or twice a week to do a long period of writing, because I think that's really good, because you get past a lot of things, past just writing the everyday details, and maybe you get into some more of the things that you feel about. We're going to do another exercise. I think we only have a couple. Were you in here before?
I've never been
before. Okay, you've never been, and you've never been, right? Okay, so what we use in here is the Natalie Goldberg method. I have exactly two sheets left here if you would like to look at these. But it's the method of practice that we use when we're doing our writing. And this is raw writing, so it isn't writing that we critique or anything like that. Sometimes you'll go to a workshop and you'll bring work you've already been working on and things you've written before. And then you will work in a critiquing sort of method in that. But in this group, we simply write raw stuff, spillage, sewage, whatever it comes out as. And then we just simply read it aloud and leave space for the words to settle between us and then go on to the next person and to the next exercise. And the purpose of it is to get at the unconscious. You can't just say, well, I'm going to do some unconscious writing right now. It doesn't happen that way. You kind of have to be doing other things. And hiking is a wonderful way to access it. Running is a good way. Working on, doing anything with your hands almost. Some kind of mindless work, dishes even, or, you know, those kinds of things. Housework is a wonderful way to have all kinds of thoughts going when you're doing this other work that needs to be done. So there are other ways of getting into the unconscious, but exercises like this, words are very powerful. I went into the library to return a book, and I picked up this book, and it was all... Somebody had taken and put paper clips on everything, on all these stories. And so I had opened to a story, and it was called The Fat Girl. And I started reading it. I was standing out here in the hallway, and something in it triggered something in me, and I could feel the tears, like right here. And I thought, well, I don't want to stand here in the hallway and read this and cry, so I'll wait and take it home with me. So words are very powerful. And as you write this kind of writing, when you feel things starting to grip in your throat or a hollowness in your stomach, you know you're getting close to things that you should probably write about. So those, but that's also when you'll say, oh, I don't want to write about this, I'll go someplace else, you know? Or you keep writing the description of something and you never get past that because you're avoiding what it is that's down below that and that you need to write about. So this kind of writing is trying to get at those things that are really close to your bone, those things that need to get out and be said on paper. You may never read it to anybody, you may never show it to anybody, but it's something that you haven't quite dealt with because it's still roiling around in there, waiting to get out. We're going to do another exercise, and this one I'm going to give you lots of help on, but it's kind of fun to do it this way too. Yesterday we picked just lines from poems. So I'm going to give you the title of your poem today. And I've also, it's going to be, let's see, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You'll have 10 couplets, which is two lines with space in between. You're going to write a poem. So the title of your poem is this. And some of you that are younger probably haven't started to deal with this because at certain ages you think you're going to live forever, and then you kind of hit one benchmark and you know you're not going to live forever, and so things start crowding in on you. But the title of this is called Looking Forward to Age. So that can be any age. And of course, old age is always 10 years older than whatever age you are anyway. So, but looking forward to age. And the first line begins, I will. And then you'll write, I will what, and then a second line to go with that one. Then you'll skip a line. The second couplet will start with, I will again. And then you write a second line to go with it. Or it can be all one sentence. Those two lines could be one sentence, too. It doesn't have to be a separate thing. It could just be a list, even.
It could be a list only divided into couplets, two lines each with a space in between. And then on Memorial Day, and you could change this day if you want to. If there's another day you'd like to pick, you could do that. You can use Memorial Day, or you can use the 4th of July, or you can use my birthday, or whatever you want to do. And then the next couplet is, I have become. The next one is, from a key, perhaps I'll one day in one room, and you my whatever. And the last couplet is, so that, with a colon after it.
So it's going to be 20 lines to write.
Right. Okay. Right. So what you can do is simply write these in and skip two lines after each. And then you'll have them all down, and then all you have to do is write out of them. There's a form called the Sestina, which has N words that are put in a certain order through like six stanzas. And that's an easy one. You just put all the six words in the right order that they're supposed to be in each stanza, and then you write into them. You don't even have to think. So just put the line down and the words, and then go back and write into them. And we'll take... I'll see how far you... We'll start with 5 minutes, but it might take a little longer than that. But here again, the object is not to think. It's simply to keep your hand moving. Don't try to control what you're writing. Take the first thoughts that come to your mind. Try to be specific, but if you can't be, don't worry about it. You can always go back and add details. Don't think. Just take the lines as they come. And don't worry about punctuation or grammar or spelling. And it doesn't have to be good. You can write junk. We don't care. And it doesn't have to be true. True in the sense that it's your life or anything
what
like that.
What is that? And you my? Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you my. I'll put the word that he had there, but you don't need to keep this one, okay? Just because it'll help you to understand it. And you, my loves. But you could put anything there. And each couplet doesn't have to make sense with the couplet above it or the one below it, because you're picking first thoughts out of your unconscious here. They will be related even if they don't seem related. Okay, I think we'll stop there. Be sure you have the beginning lines copied so you can finish this on your own. But we'll go around and... better to read it all the way through, or if we just each read. Why don't we try it once? You read your first two lines, you read your second two, and go around that way. How would that be? Try it that way and see what happens. I'll read your first two.
I will stay young in heart and body, though my soul is the angels. I will remain open to others, your thoughts, their dreams, their actions.
On my birthday, I think I will really know what I feel. If I become depressed about it, I realize I'll be a little disappointed in myself.
Okay.
From a key, I shall open a new door, a new chapter of life. Perhaps I'll sing and be joyful at last, or perhaps I'll continue to strive for the self I long to be.
Okay, would you read? You skipped this one. Did you have this one?
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought she did.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you did that one.
Except I left the have out afterwards. I said, if I had become depressed about it, I would.
Oh, okay, you read. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you. Now I got it. Okay.
So your turn.
So then we're on.
I'm not sure. You just want me to read
perhaps
something.
So.
Oh, perhaps I'll just climb on a rock and shout. I like living. Listen, heart, soul.
Yeah, when I said two lines, I guess I meant one couplet.
Oh, okay.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
See how poor words are?
in a one-room shack by the edge of the ocean.
Okay. And you. and you, my good friend, will still be in my heart.
Okay. I didn't get that far.
That's fine. Just start at the beginning again.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I will blossom and float away like dandelion tears when age comes to me.
And if you want to read from the end line, you may, because we haven't had an end line yet.
I didn't get that far.
Okay, so...
If I have become any wiser, then I'll feel it in my left third toe. Not, not just think it so in my third left brain.
So I can choose the end line or...
Sure.
And you, my old-fashioned, pretty old, etc., will boot my disc and back up my hard memory.
Does anyone have a last line? So that? Okay, let's have the last one.
So that you can know that comfort of having been there and helped me, and then you can go on.
Okay, another last one.
So that will be how I can spend my days, alone, peaceful, available, and rocking gently.
Okay. Anybody else have a last line? Did you?
So that you can say, well, that's how Anne feels about getting old.
Okay, I hope you'll finish those and work on them a little bit, and you'll have your, if you haven't written any poems before, you'll have your first poem. This is Jim Harrison, who is an Upper Peninsula poet in Michigan, and this is what he'll do looking forward to age. He's probably in his mid-50s right now. He lost one eye as a small boy. He and a young girl were, another girl, a friend were playing doctor, and she poked his eye out with a broken bottle. And I've never read the details anyplace, but a lot of his poems have that eye, that blind eye in it. Looking forward to age. I will walk down to a marina on a hot day and not go out to sea. I will go to bed and get up early and carry too much cash in my wallet. On Memorial Day, I will visit the graves of all those who died in my novels. If I have become famous, I'll wear a green janitor suit and row a wooden boat. From a key ring on my belt will hang 33 keys that open no doors. Perhaps I'll take all of my children to Disneyland in a camper, but probably not. One day, standing in a river with my fly rod, I'll have the courage to admit my life. In a one-room cabin at night, I'll consign photos, all tentative memories, to the fire. And you, my loves, few as there have been, let's lie and say it could never have been otherwise, so that we may glide off in peace, not howling like orphans in this endless century of war. So maybe write another one and really get wild about what you will do in your old age. Now, no one can tell you how to write. They may try to or want you to write like they do or something like that. I think if you find someone who writes and you love their writing, then read that writing. And somewhere from deep inside you will come the knowledge that you can do that too. Sometimes we go to a workshop to get permission to write. Some people never need permission to write, but a lot of us go to, I shouldn't say a lot of us. I went to workshops first to get permission to write, or to have someone tell me that my writing was wonderful, and nobody ever did, and that's about a long time ago, and probably no one ever will. Someone that's been to several of my classes asked me that the other day, and I said, well, W.S. Merwin asked John Berriman that, and Berriman said, if you need to know that you're good, don't write. He said, you'll go to your grave not knowing whether you're good. And being good is not the point. Writing is the point. Writing is a process, just as your life is a process. And all of us may do something different with our writing. We may start, some people have a very quick facility at writing and can do exercises like this and sound like published writers. But it's whether you keep at it or not. It's whether you continue to write, which will make the difference as far. And fame, of course, comes from outside of you, so you have nothing to do with that. You have to write the truth that's in you. If that gets out in the whole world or part of the world, that's wonderful if other people can read that and learn for their life from it. But it's not the reason for writing. The reason for writing is the writing itself. And there are all kinds of ways to do it. Ann Sexton has a new biography, or they have a new biography out on Ann Sexton. And in there she has what she calls Ann Sexton's Poetry Kit. Now, of course, poetry saved Ann Sexton's life for a long period of time, and then eventually she succeeded in committing suicide. But she was a woman who dealt with some very dark, dark demons. But poetry did keep her alive for a long time. She would take piles of bright colored paper and small note cards like this for scribbling notes at odd moments. These are wonderful to carry along. Some of you carry a small notebook maybe, or a big notebook, but to keep little ideas on it and then that later go into poems. Her instructions, then she also had a legal pad. Her instructions for use of this kind of a kit would be on the front page of your legal pad. You would write a word, and she just used the example cherish. Now write three or four things under that that you can cherish. Then you turn the page, and you go on and you write another word. So she writes camera on that page. What is there about a camera that you can cherish? So all it was a word association thing that she just continued with. And when she'd get to the end, oh, let's see, what did she do? Then you turn the page again after you've written the things that you can cherish about a camera. And then on the next page, she writes lies. Write three lies that hurt you most. Do you see what it's doing? It's like those other exercises we've done where you start by describing something outside of yourself, and then gradually it comes back to you, doesn't it? Then you turn the page again, and on and on, and it's just a free association. And that worked for her. It may not work for you. I do a lot of newspaper clipping, magazine clipping, things that jump out at me when I read or write. I have a basket full of little tiny notes that I've made for years. And so when did I start? 92. I haven't done this very long. I haven't gotten very far. I only have this many cards. But I still have a basket full of little notes that I've taken. So I started typing these up. And sometimes they're just names of books. Sometimes they're quotes from something. Sometimes they're words that I don't know, or whatever. Whatever I have on those little sheets is going on these cards. And then sometimes from those I get a poem, or I get something I want to write about, or whatever. So it's whatever you, for example, this is a start of one right here. This will probably end up in a writing class sometime. Gentlemen, start your box elder bugs. Don't you think that'd be a good thing to write from? Does anyone know Bill Holm, by the way? Minnesota poet, Bill Holm. He has a book. I don't know if it's up in the, if I saw it up in the bookstore. I saw it at the house I stayed at on the way out here. He has a book called Coming Home Crazy. He went to China for a year and absolutely loved it there. He lives in Minneota, Minnesota, which is a place where most people are of Icelandic descent. But he taught at Marshall, the college nearby. And his students were always going, oh, we don't have anything to write about. We just grew up in this little old farm town. So he said, write about box elder bugs, he said. And he ended up with a book called Box Elder Bug Variations, and it has music in it because he's also a musician and a pianist. And he did a whole opera or operetta or whatever you call it from this book called Box Elder Bug Variations. And if you ever hear about it or get a chance to look at it, like it's wonderful. And then this one, Act Like a Leaf, would be another good thing to write from. And this one, I just thought he had such wonderful trousers on. See the pants that he's got on? So then I kept the right, and this one, look at this fellow with the bow and arrow, with those trousers with the big pleats in them. So those are things that appeal to me, and as I take notes on the article, because there's language in there I wouldn't know about otherwise, things that would that go together that I wouldn't ever think of on my own. So all kinds of things like that are things that you can use to stimulate your own writing and your imagination. I'm going to have to quit a little early because I have dish duty, so I thought we'd do that. I was late the other day. I think I'll be late again, probably. Another diary device is to write to someone that you wanted to tell them something, and then in your diary you can write about it. and not ever, you know, it just gets it out in the open. And so what we're going to do is a writing device like that. I'm going to read you a poem by Adrian Rich, and it's from the book The Dream of a Common Language. Paula Becker was an artist. She lived from 1876 to 1907. And this poem sounds like it was written yesterday, but of course it was written by Adrian Rich in 75, 76, so that's probably why it has a contemporary sound to it. But she was an artist who died very young, and Clara Westhoff was her friend. They became friends at an artist colony in Bremen, Germany in 1899. In January 1900, they spent a half a year together in Paris, where Paula painted and Clara studied sculpture with Rodin. In August, they returned to Warpswede and spent the next winter together in Berlin. In 1901, Clara married Rainer Maria Rilke, and soon after, Paula married the painter Otto Mottersen. She died in a hemorrhage after childbirth, murmuring, "What a pity." And so Adrian Rich wrote this poem. The autumn feels slowed down. Summer still holds on here. Even the light seems to last longer than it should. Or maybe I'm using it to the thin edge. The moon rolls in the air. I didn't want this child. You're the only one I've told. I want a child, maybe, someday, but not now. Otto has a calm, complacent way of following me with his eyes as if to say, soon you'll have your hands full. And yes, I will. This child will be mine, not his. The failures, if I fail, will be all mine. We're not good, Clara, at learning to prevent these things. And once we have a child, it is ours. But lately, I feel beyond Otto or anyone. I know now the kind of work I have to do. It takes such energy. I have the feeling I'm moving somewhere patiently, impatiently in my loneliness. I'm looking everywhere in nature for new forms, old forms in new places, the planes of an antique mouth, let's say, among the leaves. I know and do not know what I am searching for. Remember those months in the studio together? You up to your strong forearms and wet clay, I trying to make something of the strange impressions assailing me, the Japanese flowers and birds on silk, the drunks sheltering in the loo, the river light, those faces. Did we know exactly why we were there? Paris unnerved you, you found it too much, yet you went on with your work, and later we met there again, both married then, and I thought you and Rilke both seemed unnerved. I felt a kind of joylessness between you. Of course, he and I have had our difficulties. Maybe I was jealous of him, to begin with, taking you from me. Maybe I married Otto to fill up my loneliness for you. Rainer, of course, knows more than Otto knows. He believes in women, but he feeds on us like all of them. His whole life, his art, is protected by women. Which of us could say that? Which of us, Clara, hasn't had to take that leap out beyond our being women to save our work? Or is it to save ourselves? Marriage is lonelier than solitude. Do you know, I was dreaming I had died giving birth to the child. I couldn't paint or speak or even move. My child, I think, survived me. But what was funny in the dream was, Rainer had written my requiem, a long, beautiful poem calling me his friend. I was your friend, but in the dream you didn't say a word. In the dream, his poem was like a letter to someone who has no right to be there, like a guest who comes on the wrong day. Clara, why don't I dream of you? That photo of the two of us, I have it still. You and I looking hard into each other and my painting behind us. How we used to work side by side, and how I've worked since then trying to create according to our plan that we bring against all odds, our full power to every subject. Hold back nothing because we were women. Clara, our strength still lies in the things we used to talk about, how life and death take one another's hands, the struggle for truth, our old pledge against guilt. And now I feel dawn and the coming day. I love waking in my studio, seeing my pictures come alive in the light. Sometimes I feel it is myself that kicks inside me, myself I must give suck to, love. I wish we could have done this for each other all our lives, but we can't.
They say a pregnant woman dreams of her own death, but life and death take one another's hands. Clara, I feel so full of work, the life I see ahead, and love for you, who of all people, however badly I say this, will hear all I say and cannot say. And she did die shortly after childbirth. There is a book of hers, of Paula Becker's, of letters to her parents. She was lucky enough to be have a stipend to live on from her parents and go to Paris and study, and that was very lucky for her. But so now, imagine yourself that you've hiked down Railroad Creek and found a huge rock or a good log, and there's no one else around, and you've been here for a while, and you've been hiking, and there are things that you've been thinking about. You brought paper and pen, and you're going to write to someone who you want to share some thoughts with, things you've been thinking about and you want them to know about. And again, it can be imaginary, it can be, you can start out, the summer feels slowed down, from that first line in the poem. She has autumn, but you could use summer if you want to, just to get you going. She brings in some description to begin with, but then she gets very close to the bone very fast. She was very close to Clara, Westhoff. So be sure that it's something from deep inside that river of the unconscious that you're going to tell this person. You're not just writing to tell them that, you know, I'm having a good time, wish you were here.
You good? If I assume control, I can say this. Hey.
I like to copy that. I didn't know she just wrote the things on the board. Where is this?
We have it upstairs, yeah.
Here in this building?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody want to read?
I'll read. Mine is actually something I wrote to Adrian Rich because I heard her read. So this is what I wrote. The summer feels slowed down, and I feel like a fly trapped in honey on a spoon of pewter or silver, recalling in my very cells your halted gait, hair coarse and unkempt, the cardigan you pulled around your aging belly, those arthritic fingers I recognized from your poems, as when you wrote of riding the train of pain from one end of night to the other. Behind the scarred podium, you are smaller than I had imagined you, stooped over, as if the marrow in your bones had softened and tilted closer to the earth, nearer your death as you are. You have become elemental. I have a fierce urge, inappropriate and wild, to run this crowded aisle towards you, to lift you up, and if I could, take this brittleness from your spine. I do not want you fragile. And in this Minnesota winter, I'm afraid for you, the chill seeping into your skin like bruises. You are old. You wake every morning and climb words until the light has gone away.
You have a way with words. I noticed that for the very first.
I'll read. I'm the old lady here, and I don't write much, but I don't have the way with words you have, but I'm sentimental.
Yes, I do.
I've been married 46 years, just a week before I came here, and I miss my husband, so I kind of started writing. Sugar, the summer is slowing down. I wish you were here beside me, listening to the water running fast over the rocks, feeling the constant foreverness of the sound. 46 years, is that forever? Will it always be the sameness as the never-ending music of the water over the rocks? Or will we get up together and pull each other up the path, climbing and striving to reach a new height of being, seeing new roads that we must cross? This is kind of prayer afterwards, but I write to him. All right, then, I hope that God will give to me the strength to love and to always be the best I am, and have the ability to see the opportunities offered. Don't let me miss a thing. That's age.
This is to a photographer friend of mine. The summer feels slowed down, the leaves are gaining edges of gold. They remind me of your hair, that hair that seems the negative of mine. As you are a reflection back to me, a bouncing of creative energy that makes my energy rebound. The surge of joy that comes from shared laughter bubbling up from the pelvis, the navel, the throat. The energy that goes back and forth as we talk of nothing and everything. Looking out on restless waves that nourish in both of us the questions and the light. Stay with me. I cannot say what power you have to spark my flame, but winter comes, and in its chill, I need you, Great Lady.
No, I'm conscious of people trying to come in.
Yeah.
For the next question.
Oh, the next one.
Yes. Should I read the poem?
Yeah.
Okay. This is by Mary Oliver again, in Blackwater Woods. Look, the trees are turning their own bodies into pillars of light, are giving off the rich fragrance of cinnamon and fulfillment. The long tapers of cattails are bursting and floating away over the blue shoulders of the ponds. And every pond, no matter what its name is nameless now. Every year, everything I have ever learned in my lifetime leads back to this. The fires and the black river of loss, whose other side is salvation, whose meaning none of us will ever know. To live in this world, you must be able to do three things. To love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends on it, and when the time comes to let it go, to let it go.
Mm.